adventurers, it's Kat Kruger, your DM at D20 Dames. Welcome to the start of Season 4. This is the beginning of the end, at least for this campaign. We'll have a new story and new characters after we wrap this one, so stay tuned for more details in the coming months. Before we pick up where we left off in Season 3, a word of warning. There are plenty of spoilers ahead. If you're new to the podcast or need a refresher, we've actually released some fun clip shows for each of our previous seasons to get you caught up on what the Dames have been up to. All right, you've been warned. Now, without further ado, let's jump back into the story.
Oh, one more thing before we get started. As Kat mentioned, Season 4 will be the last season of this campaign, so it's the perfect time to hear from our misadventurers. We're looking for your input on what we should do next, from different RPG settings to more types of content. Help us out by taking a quick and easy survey. Head to bit.ly/damessurvey to let us know what you're interested in. That's bit.ly/damessurvey, all lowercase. Okay, on to Season 4.
All right, so before we begin Season 4, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves again. We are joined by our returning guest from last season. So, Willie, would you like to start by telling us about you and the NPC that you're reprising?
Certainly. What's up, everybody? I am Willie, also known as the Willie Boo. Any pronouns will certainly do. And today I have brought you Rakesh, our wonderful were-raven artificer, who has a lot of things to tell the Darkstone.
Excellent. Jen, did you want to go next and not only introduce yourself, but could you also surprise? We are actually leveling up Riot and Lariah's characters in this season premiere. So if you could talk about what that means for Riot, that would be great.
Oh, can I? My name is Jen Vaughn. My pronouns are she, they. And I am playing Red Winged Tiefling Riot Boneserker, who is a Monster Slayer Ranger. Rangers, as we know, are the most powerful class you can play. They get like a million spells every level. So as a dedication to her now possibly dead brother, double dead brother, Emre, she has taken, or I have taken, the new feat of a magic initiate sorcerer.
Ooh. Aww.
And and with that, I have chosen a spell for each of the Boneserker siblings to represent them, sort of. So I have Lightning Lure now, which I'm very excited to use. Cause it will also help out Lariah, because, like, you know, not the only one throwing damage around. I also have Green Flame Blade, which I feel like is something that Karen would have enjoyed, but also the flames when they jump from person to person look like little small squirrels. Sorry, I won't ruin everything, but
oh, that's so great. I love it.
and then a Chaos Bolt for Emre and a little bit of a Riot as well, which is a cool spell that rotates through what kind of damage it has. So, you know, just a little randomization for fun in there. And then I also received, or I didn't receive, but I traded in one of my spells, as I can, for a ranger. I traded in locate plants or animals for spike growth, just nice. For some extra fun damage, which I think also someone else in the group has, but you know, we can just double up on that old roughage that our enemies need to eat through. So yeah, very excited to deal a little bit more damage and be a little bit more helpful to the group overall, but also pay tribute to the Bonesucker siblings.
Excellent. Thanks. Jess?
Hi, I'm Jess Ross, she, they, and I'm playing Earth Genasi Druid, Loraya. What I'm most excited about is that I finally don't have zero initiative.
Yay!
I'm now at plus one. Very exciting for me, personally. and I got, I believe I got two new spells. Loraya is, there's a lot going on in Loraya's head these days. But I think most of all, she desperately misses Rose and wants just someone else around to talk to about the Bonesurkers. So last time we leveled up, Loraya took Create or Destroy Water in honor of Rose. Mm-hmm. And this time she took Windwall, just remembering that, like, Rose did a lot with the elements. And I think she had, like, the Fist of Unbroken Air.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly the same. But I think every time Loraya has the opportunity to get new spells, she has a moment of, like, wow, I just wish... Just had someone else to talk to again. Just would be real great. We're really missing you, Rose. And she also took Conjure Minor Elementals.
Ooh. That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
You got those fourth level spells as a druid. That's, I mean, I know you've had them for a couple levels, but that's real nice. Says the ranger. Stuck on level two.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, I've had like Stone Shape and Stone Skin for a while, and then Conjure Minor Elementals, and then like all of my lower level ones that can be cast at fourth level. I've done that a bunch. Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm not jealous at all. So that's
All right, and I am Kat Kruger, the Dungeon Master here at D20 Dames. My pronouns are she, her, and you can find me at Steampunk Unicorn Studio, where I write for gaming and entertainment clients. But we are here today to start with Season 4, and I'm going to start here with a recap of what happened last season. So in last season's finale, the Dames had finally made it to the tower of the wizened mage Zurker. There, they rescued Fatima, who had been trapped in the waterways and isolated for months. They also found Emre, but he was changed. He had died in the tower explosion and had been turned into a revenant. Karen, too, revealed that she was dead. A ghost who had entered into a couple of bargains involving the hags in Neverwinter Woods and a kind-hearted wood elf paladin. Just when the Dames got to the top of the tower to go head-to-head with their father, a shadow demon assisted in his escape by turning Emre to dust and leaving behind a glass reliquary with a golden snake on it. With a horde of Rutterkin devils on their heels, a member of the Guild of Good Fortune arrived just in time to assist in their escape. When they were safely outside, Riot read through her father's journal and discovered her origins. And that's when Karen's ghostly business came to a close. As her spirit began to depart to the ethereal plane, the imp from Candlekeep Library arrived to claim her soul. After Loraya attempted to surprise the imp with a magical attack, he simply vanished with Karen's soul. And that is where we pick up again. So you are all left here at the base of the tower with what looks like Karen's unconscious body on the ground. Riot, I want to know what your initial reaction is. You're bidding your sister farewell was rudely interrupted by this imp.
Riot's down on her knees, pawing at the ground a little bit with her towel, just kind of like, no, I can bring you, oh my god, I never get the last say, I never get to say goodbye. This is, siblings, this is doing Okay, that's okay. That's okay. I can get her back. Oh my god. Okay. And then she tries to compose herself, like, wipe away the tears on her cheeks, so Lariah and Rakesh don't see. And is like, okay. Well, we have a new friend now, right? Sort of gesturing to now, Karen's body. Is it slowly changing into Andraste?
It is not.
It is not. Oh.
When you look down, you see that there is. Karen has an amulet at her neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's gold with black stone. This is definitely not a piece of jewelry that you've seen before. And Rakesh, I think Riot's comment might seem a little odd to you.
Yeah, certainly. Pardon?
Remember, Karen told us about the amulet of polymorph. I think if you take that, then we could probably talk to the person she was possessing.
Oh dear.
Yeah, she was a bit bad. Well, no, they made an agreement. Who knows how long it was for, though? Well, we do know it was much longer. She went too far. I guess we can take it off and. Yeah, just we should help them, but also looking at Laura, like, we need to go rescue that dragonborn, and we need to get rid of this god's forsaken tower.
Right, are you gonna take the amulet now?
Yeah, she's, I guess, gonna gingerly turn her sister over so she can reach the clasp.
Okay. So when you unclasp the amulet and remove it from what looks like Karen's body, the body morphs back into the wood elf that you saw a sketch of in the missing persons flyer. She's
oh dear.
Definitely a little worse for the wear compared to the portrait, you know. She's
The portrait was pretty democratic, you know, it was like, or diplomatic, I mean. It was very like not a lot of like any age lines or like not too much like bags under the eyes, you know.
Well, this has Andraste now has like that coating of dirt that Karen's
uniform
usually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Riot's gonna sort of like shake Andraste's shoulder a little bit just to see. Cause she could be like, yeah, she might not come out for a bit because Riot doesn't know a lot about possession, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
do you want to do maybe just like a medicine check?
Great. A six. Riot pulls out a band-aid and is like, okay, a plaster. Alright.
Oh dear.
Yeah, you're not really sure what's going on. You know that she looks unconscious to you, and that's it.
Yeah. Rakesh, did you want to get in here? You seem to...
We should probably let her rest.
Right, but we have some stuff to do, but I don't want to just leave like an unconscious person around, you know, a place where adventurers might be coming up to try to, like, you know, take the tower.
Are you sure they're not dead? As Rakesh kind of waddles up a little bit closer to take a look.
Do you have like a mirror or something we could check?
A mirror.
Rakesh, would you like to make a medicine check?
Yes, absolutely. While also ruffling through their pack to see if they have a mirror or anything. They're a little bit multitasking at the moment. And while multitasking, still getting a 15.
Okay.
Nice.
As opposed to Riot's monotasking? Thank you.
Hyper-focused. Rakesh knows that this person is very badly injured, very likely going to be unconscious for a while. You can only imagine the wear that possession for a long period of time could do to a person. So you know that the best thing you can do for this person right now is to find or create a space for them to heal. Mm-hmm. And eventually they will likely come out of it.
Well, they are alive. not bad. Yes, but absolutely in terrible shape and definitely need some time to rest, so...
Well, right, should we find a nice bit of soft grass? I could probably put a cordon of arrows around them, so...
How far are we from the tower at this point? Are we just, like, immediately outside?
You're in that cluster of the thicket where Karen had hidden at the start when you first arrived at the tower. So you have a little bit of cover there, and further back there's more brush. There's not really any, like, very tall trees or anything around, but there's enough, you know, bushes and that sort of thing where you might be able to get together some plant life.
Sure. Loria is down to spend a few minutes just like gathering random brush to kind of like cover this body up a little bit. But it's also very much like we're not planning to spend a ton of time in that tower. Like, I understand what you mean. I also don't feel great about just like leaving this unconscious person out here, but we need to go get that person out of the mirror and destroy this tower. And the faster we do that, the faster we can actually get this person out of this forest, which is probably for the best.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Okay. All right, well, good luck, person. Andraste.
All right, so you cover up the body. Lariah, I'll just get you to do a... nature check.
You would think a druid would be.
This covering up bodies is not Lariah's thing, though, right? Like,
I mean, as far as you know.
Right, you look down and you're like, you can see a face, hand.
Yeah, I'm just gonna take a little bit of this. What is it? Jewelweed? Okay, and she like, and a little bit of milkweed. Okay, and she pops them, and there's a little bit of dye in them. So she just kind of like puts some markings on the face to kind of camouflage them a bit.
All right, can you do a nature check too?
It's gonna be an 18.
Okay, combined, Rakesh, you see that? Oh, this body has disappeared.
Well, you hid the body. Where did it go? Oh, there was a body here, but... Oh, wait. That means that you did exactly what you wanted to do. Very good.
Yes, Rakesh, we... gesturing with a very fast thumb to Lariah and herself. Are professionals.
Professionals?
Not really. All right.
So you want to head back inside?
I mean, I don't want to, but I will.
Yeah, we promised we would.
All right. So how do you want to get back inside the tower?
So we trapped a bunch of the skeletons in that like waterway where we first found Fatima, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Riot, what would be a different way we could get back to that room that we need to get to with all of the turny bits to find that hall of mirrors again without going through just so many skeletons?
Yeah, skeletons all the way down. We could... Well, we're definitely not going back through that window.
Well, Riot, I think you would know that... I mean, there is a drawbridge up front, so mm-hmm. if you were able to fly in through the first floor You probably have one of your murder hole pathways to get back in there. Cool. And you could go into like the guardhouse. So you could get into the guardhouse and lower the drawbridge.
Yep. So for the first time in a long time, Riot sounds exactly like she knows what she's talking about to Lariah. he goes, okay, we go over, get over to the drawbridge, first level. I've got one of those very well created little, I called them riot holes, not really murder holes. They were for observation and intel. But they can fit all of us for sure. And yeah, then we should be able to find our way to the guardhouse, and then yeah, we can get to the Hall of Mirrors. Does that sound good?
Great. Let's go.
All right. I'm not gonna get you to do a check here because Riot does know her way around in this area, and the skeletons have been cleared. The skeletons were a new addition, but you took care of them.
It really upped the value of the tower.
Oh, I see. I'll have to keep that in mind the next time I buy out a tower.
When you're turret flipping?
Yes, of course.
So you head into through the tunnelway and into this long corridor. In this corridor, all you see on either side, and Rakesh, this is new to you, it's just a hall of mirrors. A lot of them are very dusty. And one of them, as you're making your way down the hall, has a spot at about Riot's face level that has been cleaned.
All right, we call out to the mirror. Hello! Sort of tap on the frame.
You hear a voice call back. Hello? Is someone there? I've been trapped in here. I've been trapped in here for so long. Please, please, won't you help free me? Lariah, at those words, you are actually struck with a very strong memory.
Oh no.
Lariah, you are on unofficial guild business in Undermountain below Waterdeep. Brought here at the behest of your guild partner Bellamy, also known as Swift Fox. She was desperate for immediate help, telling you she'd already sent word to the guild, but something had to be done right away because, well, she'd been cursed by some mysterious entity. So together, you traversed the cavernous network until a narrow side passage brought you to a dirty marble wall with a deep-set door made of bronze-encased stone that was green with age.
In your mind, you hear this very soft, feminine voice. It reaches out, and you hear it. Very, very faintly, very distantly, there's a voice that says, "Hello? Is someone there? Oh, please, I need your help. I've been trapped in the dark for so long, so very long. Please, won't you help me free me?"
Did you hear that?
I sure did. That's kind of the first part of the tour, if you will, apparently. This is kind of how I knew it had some creep factor going on. Again, I thought it was just a kind of show or performance, which is why I kind of continued my path in. But yes, I did quite hear that. So,
I mean, if someone's down there and we can help them, we should try to find them.
Sure, yes. That's exactly what I was thinking, too, when I first arrived here. So we should definitely, you know, investigate.
All right, yeah, let's, I guess, head in. Anything I should know before we go into this creepy tomb that cursed you?
Watch your six. I don't know.
That's what I've this got should... you for.
This should be, you know, quite simple for us. We've done much harder tasks over and over again for the guild, so this should be cake.
So Bell and me, you lead Lariah down the steps. There is a shrine area down here, and on the floor, there's just basically these shreds of dusty tapestries scattered around. There's art on the walls that's been defaced with these deep, deep gouges, so it's completely unrecognizable. In part of the room, there's an altar, and it's made of gray marble, also gouged and cracked. However, Bellamy, you would sort of ignore this part and head over into south of here into another room where you picked up the item. Lariah, if you want to stop for a moment, you can. Otherwise, Bellamy is just sort of moving forward to another room.
Yeah, Lariah wants to try to investigate, like, what could have created all these gouges, or if it seems like there's traces of, like, something or someone in here.
Okay. Can you make an investigation check?
Let's hope so. Ooh, 21.
Yes, you're looking through here, and what strikes you the most is that this damage is pretty recent, and that the creature that caused it did not leave any tracks of any kind, because the layer of dust on the floor around all the damage is still there, but the damage is recent.
Would Lariah know whether or not a mummy, like, can become incorporeal?
Just make a straight up wisdom check, I guess.
19.
You would know that they cannot become incorporeal.
I think there's something more than a mummy down here, because whatever made these didn't leave any tracks behind. I would guess some sort of spirit.
Okay, I'm on the same page as you. I wasn't sure. Is it a mummy? Is it a spirit? Is it a mummy and a spirit? Is it mummy and, like, four spirits that, like, help the mummy? So, like, all of these things were kind of racing through my head, too. So I'm glad we're on the same page about that. Are you willing to press on with me?
Of course. I got your back.
All right. So you head to the rooms to the south of this one, what you see in here is a sarcophagus, and the lid of the sarcophagus has been opened. And here is where you see Bellamy's original footsteps leading, and sort of like a frenzied movement of her feet as she ran out of the room after opening the sarcophagus.
What did you see when you opened the sarcophagus?
Well, this was before I grabbed the lantern. No, I had the lantern. A creature? You know. Scary creature. Actually, where is that creature?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think this is also, like, seeing the footsteps and the open sarcophagus. Lariah, up to this point, has been sort of, like, ignoring the warning in her head that, like, something seems very off with Bellamy.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing that, like, she had opened the sarcophagus and didn't mention that before, she's sort of, like, I don't know. She's definitely starting to feel sort of strange about this whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you heard the voice and you came in, you grabbed the lantern, or it fell and you picked it up, and you opened the sarcophagus, and you saw something and you ran out.
I heard something coming from the sarcophagus, so I thought maybe that's where the voice was, and I was seeing if I could help that person that we heard at the beginning, right? So I just looked in, you know, just a little peek, and it didn't sound anything like that voice, so that's when I got scared. The thing touched me, and I ran.
Are there any, like, tracks leading away from the sarcophagus other than Bellamy's?
No, there are not.
Well, whatever came out of it might still be in here, or it may have escaped this tomb entirely.
That was what I feared. I really didn't want anything to get out. That's why I thought we should press on quite quickly, and I'm so glad you came with me right when I asked, but I'm quite afraid that that might be the case. Kat, are there any other rooms outside of where we are? Like, is there any deeper we can go? Anything that
yes.
we can, like...
Okay. There's one room that Bellamy didn't inspect, and that was when you go back to the room you were just in, the shrine. There's another room to the east, or straight forward from the staircase.
Okay. Is this the room where Bellamy got the lantern from, though?
I'm gonna say yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Lariah will want to investigate the pillar that the lantern was on, just to see if there's any like writing or any messages that would indicate, you know, if you disturb this lantern, curse right to your face.
Can I say that there is no pillar in this room?
Yes.
Okay. There is no pillar in this room.
So where exactly did you get this lantern from?
Bellamy looks around the room quickly.
I said pillar, didn't I? It was actually on the sarcophagus, just laying atop it, and I must have knocked it off when I opened the sarcophagus to hear the noise or something.
Bellamy, what's going on?
I told you, friend. I just came on this deep, dark tomb tour and, you know, got a little caught up in something. I there's nothing more to tell. We should act. We should act fast. I don't know where this creature is. I promise you that. I'm getting a little worried now.
As you're saying that, you both hear that voice again. And it seems closer. It says,
Have you come? Have you come to help me?
Okay, that's very creepy.
Where did you catch where the voice was coming from?
You can both make a perception check.
Ugh, 8.
17.
Bellamy, you know that it's coming from that other room that you didn't investigate in that general direction.
Okay, so we did fast track here, but I think that voice was coming from that room we didn't quite check out from the other spot. Maybe that's also where the creature retreated to? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm worried now the voice is actually the creature trying to draw us closer.
That would track with what happened to me. Yes, I think you might be right about that one.
Okay, well, we should figure out what it is and see if we need to, like, trap it in here or something so it doesn't hurt anyone. Let's go check it out.
So you enter into this other room and you see 4 stone sarcophagi. And the lid of each one has the sculpted image of a robed human figure resting.
Okay, I'm going to suggest we don't open these.
Agreed.
Good.
Is there anywhere else to go in this room, or is it pretty much just like these four sarcophagi with this hidden room and that's it?
That is it.
Yeah, I guess we're checking it out.
Such a bad idea.
Yeah, it's the worst idea.
As Brittany knows this is a bad idea. Bellamy's more adventurous than Brittany.
Lariah hates it here. This goes against all of her instincts.
Does Lariah actually say anything about it as you're doing this?
I guess Lariah would probably say, like, maybe we should wait for backup since we don't know what's in there. And you said you sent a note to Wildheart, right? So probably no, backup is already on its way. Do you feel the curse in any way?
Oh yes, I quite feel the curse. We should probably try to fix this as soon as possible. I feel it a lot in my heart and my bones. How do curses work? I should have read that chapter on curses. Darkstone and I, there's no backup. No backup is coming. None. So we just have to figure this out and then we can get out of here, okay? Chop chop.
Before Lariah will like get closer to the sarcophagus, she grabs Bellamy's arm. Not roughly or anything, but just like grabs her arm to get her attention and says, Swift Fox, whatever is going on here, I get that we're in danger and you can't tell me right this second. You're my best friend. I would do anything for you. I trust you, and I'm trusting you right now. But you're gonna have to tell me what's going on.
Friend, I will tell you, but it will be so much easier and so much better if we just fix this problem now, and I'll tell you everything later, I promise.
Okay. I trust you.
All right, so you head down, and in this next area, there are murals on the walls that are decorated with these beautiful, bright pigments. There are inlays of semi-precious stones. On the western wall, there is a gilded sarcophagus. And Bellamy, as you hold up your lantern, you see a stone chest that's resting at the foot of the sarcophagus. You notice that as you're scanning around the room, it doesn't actually show, the stone chest isn't there when the light doesn't shine on it.
An interesting lantern.
All right, so Bellamy, because you are in the lead and have, entered the room first, all of a sudden springing forth from the sarcophagus is this shadowy, ghostly form that looks similar to the woman that was resting in the tomb, just on the edges. It's this very, it's an incorporeal form that sort of moves around in shadow. And she smiles in this menacing way as she leaps forward through the air and attacks you. You actually have to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay. Nope. 5.
Okay. So she reaches out, grabs a hold of your shoulder, and you feel your life energy sort of seeping out of you. It's almost as though you can see it enter into this creature's being. She looks less incorporeal, and you take 16 points of necrotic damage.
Ooh.
Additionally, because you failed your constitution saving throw, your hit point maximum is reduced to 16.
Okay.
A reduction lasts until you finish a long rest. Or, you know, if you're reduced to 0 points.
Yeah.
The creature got a surprise attack, and now we're back, we're into initiative. So, Loraya, what do you do?
Well, Loraya sees this happen and is not cool with it. I guess, so does the creature look corporeal enough that she could, like, physically attack it?
You would have to make, I'm gonna say an Arcana check.
17.
You have a sense that it probably is resistant to non-magical physical attacks. You also have a sense that you probably need a silvered weapon.
Did we see any silvered weapons in here?
You did not. However, as you're sort of scanning around, you hear the voice again, and it's not coming from this creature. It says, please help me. Help me and I can help you.
Where is the voice from? Where are you?
Show yourself.
I'm in here.
And you know that it's coming from the chest.
I guess Larry will try to dive forward and open the chest.
Yeah, you can do that because the creature is engaged with Bellamy. So you dash over there. You're able to open up the chest, and what you see in there is a sword hilt.
A sword hilt, and it's not, yes. There's not an actual sword attached to it?
That's right, there's no blade. However, when you open it up and see it, it speaks to you and says,
please, if you help me, I'll help you.
How can I help you?
Pick me up.
Oh, I don't like this one bit. But Loraya picks it up. Bellamy seems to be on the verge of death here.
All right. So, you pick it up, and you know right away that this is a sentient blade. As you pick it up, a blade made out of light appears. When you pick up this blade and the light radiates in the room, you notice that the creature that is attacking Bellamy shies away from it.
Can I just step a little bit closer to Bellamy to try to keep the spirit away with the blade?
Yes, because I think the room is not large enough for it to evade. Bellamy, it is now your turn.
Yeah, I feel like she would try to kind of try to get closer to Loraya, actually, and just like kind of crawl over. Actually, she's not prone, but she's hurt very badly.
Mm-hmm.
So she would maybe turn and back towards Loraya, maybe disengage.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now it is the creature's turn, and okay, so the creature turns around and it attempts to lash out at Loraya. You notice that it's sort of blinded by this light. It does manage to sort of reach out and grazes against your arm. Loraya, you feel your life force sucked out of you as well, and you take 18 points of necrotic damage.
Jeez.
As it's starting to look more lifelike. how are you feeling after that memory comes to you?
Luraya, who? There is this just like, I think, a very intense reaction. Luraya has been holding a lot back because there's been so much going on. And I think at hearing those words, there is just pain and anger. And I think if Riot is still touching the mirror, this might be the first time Luraya touches Riot. Luraya will reach out and grab Riot's wrist and pull her hand away from the mirror.
All right. And Riot and Rakesh, I want you to make a perception check.
Certainly.
Is mine with advantage? Because Luraya's yes. never touched me.
Yes, absolutely. Riot, you have your
all senses are firing. Yeah, 19.
I got a dirty 3.
Rakesh is like, this is something friends do.
Sorry. Riot, you very clearly see the pain, the anguish, the anger on Luraya's face. And it's intensified by the fact that, you know, she's grabbed you. Like, you mm-hmm. do not get physical contact from Luraya ever.
Yeah, Riot just asks, what can I do? What do you need?
Don't touch that mirror.
Okay.
And you see the dragonborn peer around.
Oh no. Is this one of Dad's tricks? She was kind of saying that to Luraya and herself and the ghost of Karen, not to the dragonborn. She wasn't expecting the dragonborn to say anything. Sorry.
Yeah, no. No. The dragonborn is just like sort of trying to press her hands against the glass of the mirror mm-hmm. and looking out at you in desperation.
Really wish I'd gotten sense traps. Fine traps.
Luraya may have done this when we ran into her before, but like looking at this dragonborn after hearing that voice, does Luraya recognize this dragonborn at all?
I think you had done a perception check. You don't recognize the dragonborn, though.
I think I do have fine traps, and I'm gonna cast it.
Yeah.
Rakesh, if you wanted to make an investigation check, you could do so, because you haven't investigated this area yet either.
Perfect. I think as soon as Rakesh started to look at all the mirrors, they kind of adjusted sort of the covering on their nose, made it a little bit tighter, so to speak. Ooh, very good. But definitely settling into the room, they get a very good look, especially with a nice 22.
I loved your vamping until you got that roll, by the way.
So Rakesh, you notice that this mirror, I'll describe it, it's 4 foot tall, 2 foot wide, it's bronze framed, elaborately gilded, and there is a dragonborn trapped in the mirror. This dragonborn is wearing leather armor, and by the looks of it, you can determine that that armor is very, very old.
Ah.
And it's not like it's aged in the mirror. It's the style that's very old.
It's a very old make. How long has this individual been stuck in there? Kind of just tilting their head back and forth. Try not to touch, but, you know.
I think when we were here before, they said they didn't remember how long they'd been here.
Yeah, she just confirms that again. She just says, I don't remember. I've been stuck in here. There was a mage. He trapped me. Please, won't you help me? Luraya, do you want to do your check now, your find trap?
Yes. I definitely do. So, Lariah, yeah, instead of touching the mirror, we'll just, like, reach down and touch the stone floor and sort of send her senses out searching for traps.
Okay. There is actually not a trap in this area. I mean, I think besides the obvious that the mirror itself was a trap. Let's just clarify.
So I think Lariah would probably remember that the voice was from, I think, the sword, right?
Yeah.
So she looks at the mirror again. Can she see a weapon on this person? Does it seem like when she hears this voice, it's coming from the Dragonborn?
Yes, it's coming from the Dragonborn.
I don't know if we should let her out.
Do you want to do an insight check?
Sure.
Are you sure, the Darkstone?
I don't know.
Riot's also going to help with a
I got a 10. Yeah,
I got a 14.
I could use some help.
Oh,
wait, I'm going to use my Damespiration.
Okay.
That's a 14.
Okay, so Riot and Lariah, you feel that the Dragonborn is telling the truth.
About what, though? All she said so far is that she's trapped, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that she's trapped and she doesn't know how long she's been there.
Ugh.
She knows that the mage trapped her. She has no idea how long it's been.
Is there any way for us to tell if she's possessed or anything like that?
I mean, I could Zone of Truth her, but she's only going to answer questions that she would, want to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Does the zone even go into the mirror?
True. That too. Mm. It's like a worthless spell, one would think.
Riot. I don't know if we should let this person out. It might be fine, or she might be possessed by a sword, or she might be a centuries or even millennia old mummy that will try to kill us immediately.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, the latter two feel right. because the emotional damage of us leaving someone in here would also haunt us forever, which is exactly
right.
Dad's brand. But there's also that part of me that's like, what if she is just a person that got caught in here, and this was the one? Although, let me think about this logically. If this mirror is a trap, how is there only one person who's ever been trapped by it? Right? Multiple adventures come through here. So multiple adventures might have been trapped. So I think, ergo, A plus B equals C. I think you're right.
Yes, yes.
I think you're right.
Is there any way for us to know if someone is affected by your zone of truth? Like, if you cast it, would we be able to look at her and see, like, yes, it is affecting her?
If they fail save, then I think we'd be able to tell.
Yeah.
It doesn't specifically say, it just says within the 15-foot sphere.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I cast it. I have an idea.
Okay. Okay, so Riot, it's like, all right, love this one. cracks the knuckles and sort of scatters a bunch of ethereal glowing leaves into the mirror that sort of swirl around into a 15-foot sphere, half inside the mirror image and half outside. Mm-hmm.
All right. What sort of save does she need to make?
A 13. Charisma.
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 She only got 11.
All right, and then Riot, like, you see the leaves sort of, like, a couple of them stick to her ankles, and so Riot kind of, like, elbows, right? Okay. Well, elbows the armor.
She looks down at the leaves and then looks back out at you.
I'm just testing to see if, well, she would know, actually.
Yeah.
Just testing to see, though, if we can affect you at all spell-wise to help pull you out.
Absolutely fascinating.
Luraya sort of, like, herds Riot and Rakesh out of the way so that she can stand directly in front of this mirror and look at this dragonborn.
Okay.
We want to let you out, but I need to know first that you're not going to hurt us if we do.
I've been trapped in here for so long. If you rescue me, why would I hurt you?
Yeah. I need you to look at me and tell me if you know who I am.
She shakes her head. She says, I think you were just here. Was it a day ago? Hours ago? You were just here. With the others.
Before that, had you ever seen me before?
She shakes her head. No, I... The only ones I've seen here just pass by me. They never stop. They never stop to even hear. You've come back, though. You promised. You promised you would come back. And here you are.
Where were you before you were in this mirror?
I don't remember. It's been so long. I don't even remember my name.
Do you think you would remember it if you heard it?
She just sort of stares off and then looks over at you and says, I don't know. How does one forget one's own name?
Okay. Fine.
Are we able to tell, like, from the side, like, if the Dragonborn's pupils are dilating or something? Some, you know...
Like another insight check?
Yeah.
Type of thing?
Some Federal Bureau of Investigation checks.
Well, she has a zone of truth, right? So she wouldn't be able to lie?
That's right, yes.
She
could not answer, but she has to answer truthfully if she does.
Yeah. 19.
Yeah, she... For all that you see before you, again, it's... She doesn't seem like she's attempting to mislead. She legitimately, it seems to you, right, like she legitimately has been in there for so long that a lot of her memory of whatever her life was before being in the mirror is gone.
Okay. Yeah, Riot just sort of turns to Lorraine and just goes, you know, she's fading like an old painting in the sun. That's the only thing I can tell. So, even if she possibly had malicious intent, she might not remember.
She might not remember it now, but if we let her out, if we let her out and she goes back to what she was doing before, if she runs around and murders people, aren't we responsible?
Of course, but if we destroy the tower and she's not that... then we murdered her anyway.
Perhaps we take the mirror with us?
How dare you come with a third option? Yeah, that might be the way to go. The mirrors are pretty light, right? Right. Right, jokes. Like, they're clear.
I think we should let her out and deal with the consequences later. We have to get out of here, and if breaking the mirror is the way to get her out, then either way, we destroy the tower, we'll probably break the mirror.
Yeah. I'm agreeing.
Either we let her out and bring her with us, or let her out and risk her being crushed by the tower.
Yeah, I'm for letting her out on the slim chance, but still, that she's not evil, because I've killed too many people.
Riot doesn't wait for Riot to finish talking. She turns around and just smashes her fist into this mirror. Ooh.
Hey everyone, it's Kat again. Thanks for joining us on our misadventures. Like what you're hearing and want to support us in other ways? We've got a few options for you. First, you can review our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you get our episodes. Word of mouth means a lot to us, as we don't do a lot of advertising. Another way to support us is through our Patreon. For $2, $5, or $10 a month, you can help us with our business expenses and maintaining our equipment. We also have a very active Discord community that's included with your financial support. You can find more info at patreon.com/d20dames. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find all our social media links at d20dames.com. Anyway, that's it for now. Until next time, misadventure awaits.
This episode of D20 Dames is brought to you by Norse Foundry. We love Norse Foundry for their tabletop RPG supplies, like dice sets made from metals and semi-precious gemstones, leather and chainmail dice bags, beautiful hex chests, and more. Our listeners can get 15% off their order at Norse Foundry by using code D20Dames, all one word, at checkout. The hardest part now is deciding which amazing Norse Foundry items you'll be checking out with. Head to norsefoundry.com and don't forget to use code D20Dames for 15% off your order.
D20 Dames is a production of Misadventure Awaits. Music by Middle Essence. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/D20Dames. What's a Patreon? What's a Middle Essence? What's a production?